Alrighty, you are listening to Action Line on KNY. I am your host, Jordan Lewis, and joining me in the studio today, I had Elizabeth Farnett and Serene Hutchinson with Tourism Best Management Practices. How are you both doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
So good.
So obviously, the big thing to talk about with both of you is we are officially in the cruise ship season. The first ones came in earlier this month. So how are things looking in the earliest go? How's the first day of the cruise ships coming in?
Well, for TBMP, just in the last week or so, we have had 4 submissions to our hotline with people having concerns. Nothing groundbreaking, nothing new, so we haven't seen a new trend starting yet. But just the TBMP is here for residents to contact the hotline if they have concerns or complaints or even compliments. And we pass that information along to the operator involved, and they get back with an answer. So residents do have a voice. And I was at the travel fair that Travel Juno had on Saturday, had a TBMP booth. About 60% of the people who came by my booth have not heard of Tourism Best Management Practices and what we offer as far as giving them a voice in what's happening to our community. And so one of the things we do is go on programs like Action Line. We're going to be on Capital Chat. We're going to be the Maritime Festival. I created a little magnet for residents to take home and put on their fridge so they don't have to try to find the hotline number or the hotline email. They can scan a QR code to get the form on our website. I mean, it's so easy to let us know what you're thinking and what you're feeling, and if there are things we can help get corrected, we will. Might be as easy as, you know, stopping a bus from billowing black smoke that they don't even know they're doing, to working with the whale watching operators to come up with some new guidelines for their behavior out on the water. It's one of the reasons Serena's here today. And so you want to talk about your organization?
I mean, I can, but I also would be happy to talk about the first few days of the season.
Oh, okay.
we'll hit both. So let's first hit those first few days, and then we'll circle.
So fun. Just the vibe is so great among the guests coming to Juno and all of our team activating again. Even just like running into people in the grocery store, people working in the grocery stores, like everywhere I go, because I've been wearing my uniform everywhere I go because we got new stuff that I'm all proud of. I don't know why I'm not wearing it today, but I've just had people tapping me on the shoulder saying, it's so good to see Juno waking up again. We're so happy. So in general, yeah, we all have so much room to grow and we can improve, but the vibe has been so joyous. At the travel fair, just person after person just coming up and saying, this is my favorite time of the year. I love what tourism does for our community and things like that. So it has been, I know this is the honeymoon period where we've only had one ship one day a week, you know, but it has been really invigorating for me, who I spent the whole last year of my life really delving deep and looking hard at the whale watching industry and what can we do to improve, to both future-proof our business and also protect our community and make sure that what whale watching does for Juno is way more positive than it is negative. And so I have been, you know, having a lot of hard conversations and really making a lot of tough decisions with people. And so it's been so enjoyable to be in this early stage of the season and hear from so many people how excited they are. Humorously, I have had people tap me on the shoulder and whisper to me, I love tour companies. I love tourism. And they whisper it like they're ashamed of it, which I find amusing because... But anyway, that's been it's been just a lovely couple of weeks.
Gotcha. I think that comes with most things. You know, there's always going to be those people who really love the tourism season, and we always know because we all hear it. I mean, TBMP exists partly because of it. There are those
For sure.
Kind of don't enjoy it as well. Now, I've been told not to talk about that too much as it's a smaller portion of the community, but I'm still going to acknowledge that, you know, that does exist.
Well, certainly it exists, and one of the reasons TBMP exists is to work with tour operators and transportation providers and cruise lines to help mitigate the impacts that are happening, mm-hmm. have been happening since tourism started in Juneau and in the mid-90s. When only 500,000 people a year were coming, the community was saying, how many people can we handle? So here we are 28 years later this year, having those same conversations, but because of TBMP, the industry has self-imposed over 100 guidelines on themselves to follow to help stop these impacts that just from cruising 1.6 million people are going to have on us. So if we don't hear from people, we don't know what's really bugging them. You know, complaining on Juneau Community Collective doesn't get it into the reporting phase where we can see trends and we can provide answers, and the industry knows what everybody's saying about everything because we do monthly reporting. And that's available to the public, too. It's a very transparent organization.
Well, you really, I also think that from the tour operator perspective, I think people might find it interesting that when a complaint comes in, for example, that names a specific company, I can speak for myself, when a complaint comes in that names a Juneau Tours bus or a Juneau Whale Watch boat, my whole company activates. Like, we take this so seriously. I instantly try to find out which bus it was. The day, at the end of the day, if not sooner, I'm talking face-to-face with that driver. If it's some operational or mechanical thing, I'm talking with our mechanics. We instantly go into problem-solving mode. So I do want people to know that these things, we do hear you. And that, I think that's what's so great about TBMP, because it gives, like, the good kind of middleman, so that the person that has seen the thing, which perhaps has upset them and made them emotional, is able to give that to TBMP, then TBMP gives us the input, which could potentially make us feel emotional, right? But now we have this sort of stage to work things out without things getting personal at each other. And I guess I just want to say that we take this so seriously. And I mean, I think that Elizabeth can attest to the fact that we answer, we address, and we instantly get into problem solving mode.
Yes, it's true. It is part of the program when operators sign on to be part of TBMP that they agree to get back within 3 business days to any issue that I have put in front of them where they may or may not be involved. Some people aren't specific, say, mentioning Juneau Tours, but just saying a bus, giving a time of day and a location. So I send it out to all the transportation providers.
And we don't get away with it.
Having to delve into it. And they still respond back to me saying, we didn't have any buses on the road at that time. So, you know, check them off. And if I don't hear back, I recontact them saying, maybe you missed this email. You know, you get a lot. I understand you're busy. But, you know, we need to get an answer back to this citizen.
Yeah, and along those lines, anything that you, when you have a concern, any specifics you can give of the color or the bus number or the name of the company really, really helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And also think about your complaint. You know, if you're complaining to a bus tour operator, there are too many buses on the road, that's a hard one for us to address, right? But for ones, you know, specific about the way we operate or how fast we're going, that kind of thing, we're so eager to come up with a solution.
Gotcha. Now, I have the report that you've given me here that is actually not
much
of a report.
Guidelines.
It's a guidelines. My brain wants to say report a lot of the time because that's usually the types of things that I would open up and read. Now, there's a couple sections here that have caught my attention. Mm-hmm. And the first one I wanted to really ask you about is looking at maybe some of those shoreside tour brokers. Talk to me about that one.
Well, there are guidelines in there, and actually we can go to them because I don't have them memorized, but it's on page 12. That they have helped come up with these, and of course the city has their input, the industry had their input, and then Kirby Day, who managed TBMP as a volunteer manager for 26 years, he would witness things and make notes for the next year's guidelines. But for the shoreside tour brokers, just off the top of my head, I know they are not allowed to necessarily hawk their tours. They cannot go outside of their booth and try to gather people in. They have to have the name of their organization displayed, so if somebody wants to complain, they can say it was such and such tours, you know, instead of saying it was the guy down there with the green and black sign, and there are, you know, five green and black signs. And just there, they have to be pleasant to the visitors, of course, but they also have to be pleasant to each other because they are standing next door to fierce competitors. It's a very competitive business. There's a lot
six
of money.
6 inches away.
That's about
six inches away.
Yeah. And but you know, if things get out of hand, somebody notifies Docks and Harbors, and they go down there and say, you know, you need to, you know, stop being so offensive,
aggressive with each other.
Yeah, aggressive. But they're good salespeople, and they're good at what they do, and they want to make that sale. So they have to dress nicely. They can't display misleading signage. They can't give people wrong information unless they don't know it's wrong. But, you know, they know what they're selling, and they know what other people can offer, too. So
that just is an example of all of the different aspects from the point of last-minute tour sales, to the bus operators, to helicopter tours, to the dock representatives, to the, you know, how we are on the road, in the water, in the air, how we sell, how we drop off at the end of the day. Like, TBMP has guidelines for every aspect of the kind of tourism operation in our town.
Gotcha. And then, Serene, I think you'd be perfect to speak more on, you know, specifically like that marine tour aspect of it. I know, and I'm going to use this because Elizabeth brought up, you know, oftentimes we see people make comments in Juneau Community Collective specifically about issues within the marine tours. And so I, as someone who operates marine tours, maybe you can talk to me more about it from that angle.
Well, I hope this is okay to say. It's kind of interesting. We in the whale watching industry in Juneau have a bit of a success problem or a success challenge because Juneau is such a fabulous place to go whale watching. I mean, I don't know. I'm from Hawaii originally. I've gone whale watching all over the world. There's not very many places where you know you're going to find whales every time you go out. I mean, very, very fortunate. And then on top of that, it's a pretty narrow area where we are operating. So we have, as the overall Juneau fleet has grown, we have challenged ourselves to go above and beyond any laws. We all follow the laws, and it is in our interest, of course, because you can get huge fines from NOAA if you break laws, the Marine Mammal Protection Act, things like that. So we all follow that and are very familiar with that. But then we have chosen years ago, many of us, through the organization Whale Sense, which is in cooperation with NOAA, to come up with above and beyond commitments that we make. Those aren't even guidelines. These are like, this is how we will operate out there in the presence of whales and in the presence of other tour boats. Now, what we found is as the fleet in Juneau grew, Whale Sense really focused on how we are around whales and marine mammals, and it has less focus and less attention on how we operate around other vessels. So we whale watching companies got together and formed an association called Southeast Alaska Whale Watching Association, or SEAWA, and this is really focused on how we operate around each other and in the community, keeping in mind not just the whales and our guests, but then going further, how we interact with fellow whale watching boats, how we operate, give each other time, move away if we've had enough time, really increase our communication with each other, and then extend that situational awareness and respect to the locals on shore and other locals who are out on their own personal boats fishing or wanting to enjoy the whales themselves. So there was no real guidelines or focus with Whale Sense with that specifically in mind. So this has been such a wonderful experience. It's been very, as I mentioned before, very challenging for us. We all love what we do. We all take this very personally. We have all of our lives invested in all of our finances. Boats are expensive, you know, so it we take it very personally. We take it very seriously, and working together has been incredible. It's increased our trust, communication with each other. It's things that, little tiny decisions that were very hard to make and would take hours of circular conversation to decide on. A year later, we're making decisions fast together. We're communicating with each other great. On May 5th, this is something we've done annually anyway, but this year it's going to be much bigger than ever, where all of the SeaWA whale watching companies, which is, I think it's about 18 different companies, anywhere from a company that only has one 6-passenger boat up to Allen Marine and their wonderful fleet, you know. And so we all work together as equals. Allen Marine doesn't have any bigger say than, say, Jaleen's Alaska. We all are inputting equal, but we're all meeting, including all of our captains, on May 5th to really open up lines of communication with each other, share phone numbers, and we have now our own in-house SeaWA email where we can do our own kind of pre-TBMP. Hopefully we catch each other doing things before it becomes a problem for the community, and we fix some of our challenges on the water ourselves before it ends up affecting other people. I'm so excited about the participation. And one of the things we did last year, just to kind of kick it off, and it went so great, we're making it an annual event, and that is Locals Day. And this year we're going to sell twice as many seats, and it's gonna only be $50 for 2 hours on the water, leaving from Stater Harbor, and we're going to do it at the end of May instead of September, hoping that the whales will be even better. And we're all so excited about it. And I even have the list of boats and everything. So everyone needs to pay attention to social media, because we're going to be strafing social media with the QR code where you can go on and book your tickets. But the date is May 18th. At 5:30, Gas No Guiding is donating two of their 20-plus passenger boats. Allen Marine is donating one, I think it's 150-passenger boat. Juno Tours is donating two of our 49-passenger boats. Alaska Tales is donating one 49-passenger boat. And Juno Lighthouse Tour / Harvin Marv is donating a 49-passenger boat. And so if you're good at math, you know that's more than 300 seats. And it's only going to be $50 a person. And all of the proceeds are going to the local food bank, just like we did last year.
Gotcha. Now, we don't have too much time left, so Elizabeth, I have one last question for you.
Okay.
Which is, just, so say someone does want to make that, you know, those reports to TBMP, how would they go about that so they know how to do it for the future?
Well, we do have a hotline, and this information is published all over the place, but that's one of the reasons we made the magnets, is so they don't have to try to find it or remember it.
And you have a new Facebook.
So it's 907-586-6774. Again, like Serene said, leave as much detailed information as you can so that I can narrow it down, if possible, to get it to the right person in a timely fashion, rather than sending it out to the entire transportation fleet waiting for somebody to say, oh yeah, maybe that was us, you know, and I have to call them to remind them. We also have email is hotline@traveljuno.com, and all of those go straight to me, and I'm the one that disseminates it out to the people involved. I'm the one that gets responses back. Often they go straight to the resident, or they can come to me, and then I can let the resident know how it was resolved.
Yeah, because there is a way to do it anonymously as well, right? Where
you don't have to tell me who you are.
Yeah, or you know, like we can, we can answer you and you can answer them.
Right? Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. People don't have to give their names, but a lot of people want to give their names. I mean, it doesn't go anywhere. The reports that we put on the city site and on our TBMP website and stuff do not contain people's names, addresses, phone numbers, and stuff. It's just the date and the time of the complaint, what it's about, where it happened, you know, that kind of thing. So the only ones who get to know the name are the people who are involved that have to give the response back, you know.
Gotcha. Well, on that, we are about out of time. But Elizabeth Stream, thank you both very much for coming and taking the time to chat with me. And we'll try and get more out there so that folks always know they can go to TBNP when they have those things, so they don't have to go to Community Collective, where it just kind of sits there. So thank you both for coming on.
Well, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
All righty. You've been listening to Action Line on KINY.